Hello, everybody. I'm Mo Ray. This is The Other Side, and glad to be with you. These are troubling times, and sorry I wasn't with you the other day, but we're going to make up for lost time. Very clip-heavy show today. I'd like to hear from you if you'd like to chime in. I want to focus specifically on the situation with the George Floyd murder and the reactions from some people, and the fact that this thing has really put a spotlight on where we are in this country with race relations. Let me be clear about one thing. I am all for peaceful protest. I am totally opposed to violence. Violence is not the answer. I'm going to show a lot of clips today. Some of the clips do include some violent episodes. Not so much anybody getting hurt as much as property destruction. Peaceful protest is your constitutional right. Destruction of property, hurting people, that is not a constitutional right. And I think we need to be aware of that. I think I brought up something, a quote that's been used a lot, the words of Martin Luther King. Way back when, 55 years ago, hard to believe, Martin Luther King described riots in a way that's been, well, in fact, I misquoted it. I said that King said that a riot is the voice of the unheard. Actually, his quote was, a riot is the language of the unheard. But there was more to it. I want to play this clip so you get it in context. It's turned into a soundbite, but basically, if you listen to it, he's saying he's not for violence, but he's also saying that there's only so much people can take. So listen to the wisdom of Martin Luther King a year before he was assassinated, 1967. He died in 1968.
Said, I will always continue to say that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve, that in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.
And those were the words of Martin Luther King in 1967, a year before he was assassinated. And what he's not talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's saying he doesn't believe in violence, but he's saying that if you continue to ignore the cries of people who feel they're being oppressed and the situation that is occurring with police brutality, which is not, and I say again, and I say it every time, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers are very good people, very brave people, putting their lives on the line to try to keep this society civil. But to pretend that there are no bad cops is absurd. And I think that we need to just really admit, we need to clean up our police departments. And I've got a different take on this from Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson, I agree with him to a certain extent, but there are certain aspects of what he says here that I don't agree with. By the way, once again, the number is 330-595-1600. I'd like to hear what you have to say. This program will be devoted entirely to the ongoing situation, that is the situation we have with incidences of police brutality and race relations in this country. Where are we with this? A lot of us thought we were past some of these problems, but apparently America still needs to work out a few of its issues. Go ahead. Listen to Tucker Carlson's take on this.
Most painful weeks in memory. Depressing doesn't even begin to describe it. We have watched as mobs of violent cretins have burned our cities, defaced our monuments, beaten old women in the street, shot police officers, and stolen everything in sight, stealing everything. How many innocent Americans have these people hurt? How many have they murdered? We don't know that number. But it's the country itself that so many of us worry about at this point. After we've watched what's happened over the last week, how do we put the society back together? Can we? We don't know that either. If you're grieving for America tonight, you are not alone. Millions feel the same way you do. So many of our leaders, by contrast, are not grieving. They seem exhilarated. They feel nothing as our nation descends into anarchy. They see chaos instead as an opportunity, a chance to solidify their control, to increase their market share, to win elections. They have no interest in talking about the details of what is actually happening out there on our streets. In fact, they're hiding those details. They're demanding that you forget what you saw. Don't forget it. Remember all of it, every bit, because it's proof of who they are. This is who they are. That's what they're defending. That's what they're encouraging. It has nothing to do with civil rights. It's violence. And the criminals you just saw on the screen are not protesters. The people cheering them on from their TV studios have no patience for real protests or real protesters. Just in April, Democrats in New Jersey arrested a woman for trying to plan a rally, a protest at the state capitol. The New York Times said nothing when they did that because they approved. That's how they really feel about any political expression they can't control. They crush it. What they support is more power for themselves, and they're willing to use gangs of thugs to get it. Here's one of their protesters.
No justice, no peace.
NBC News wouldn't show you that video ever. Neither would CNN under any circumstances. No justice, no peace, they chant as the man tortures a dog. These are the worst people in America, and our leaders have let them do whatever they want. So, of course, they want more. Their latest demand is that we eliminate the police entirely. No more law enforcement in this country. That would mean more power for the mob. They could do anything. It would mean never-ending terror for you and for your family. That's why they want it. Watch.
And I'm calling our ELEC and our city council members and all our elected officials to defund the police.
Defund the police.
Defund the police.
Defund the police.
Defund the police. No sane person would dare to have said something like that in public just a week and a half ago. Now a member of Congress has endorsed the idea, Rashida Tlaib. So what would happen to our country if we eliminated law enforcement? Eric Garcetti is the mayor of Los Angeles, the second biggest city in America. His city would devolve into a murderous hellscape within hours if the police left. But Garcetti, who is in charge of the city, won't push back against this idea. Instead, he kneeled in subservience before the people demanding it.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti joined protesters moments ago. What did he have to say?
Yes, he came out this morning, Jake, and he took the time to come out and come out among the protesters. He knelt while he was out there saying and showing his solidarity for the movement, for the protesters here today. And I can tell you that today, this daytime protest has been very peaceful, very calm. Lots of chanting, singing.
He kneeled. Our leaders are kneeling before the mob. The atavistic ritual of self-abasement, of defeat. Suddenly, many are performing this ritual, including police around the country. The mob wants victory, but more than that, it wants the total humiliation of its enemies.
And welcome back. A little rough there. This is a long cut, and I didn't want to go into the whole thing. Let me tell you where I disagree with Tucker Carlson. I don't believe, you know, I as I said, I am totally against violence. By the way, just talking to Joe here, there's actually more to that Tucker Carlson. If you want to go.
Let me bring it back up.
Thought I'd turn that down. Yes. The thing is, live radio, well, it's not radio, it's streaming. But anyway, the bottom line is this. I don't think that, I don't condone violence, and I don't think there's a lot of people. What did he say that there was one thing he said that I totally disagreed with. I don't think people kneeling in solidarity is a form of subservience. I think what it is, it's solidarity. It's saying, listen, this problem is real. There are some bad eggs out there that need to be dealt with. And if I think the best thing to do is to acknowledge there's a problem. And when I see public officials and even some cops kneeling in solidarity with the protesters, listen, but on the other end of it, I totally agree with him, this nonsense about defunding police departments. There's some people out there even talking about totally abolishing police departments. And then you would have total anarchy in this society. So I agree with Carlson in that regard. But as far as characterizing anybody who sympathizes with the true protesters as somehow being in league with the violent people, I think that's a total mischaracterization. It's one thing to say that you shouldn't. All I'm saying is, listen, and I know I'm all over the place today, because really, this whole thing has me a little bit upset, because I think this is a tragic time in our country. I haven't seen anything like this since I'm 61 years old. I guess I look all right for my age. But to tell you the truth, I've not, in my lifetime, I was just a kid. I've not seen any volatility like this since 1968. 54 years ago, I was just a kid. That was the year that Martin Luther King was assassinated. And just a few weeks later, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. That was the year of many riots. Vietnam was still ongoing. The civil rights movement was in full stride. But the thing is, this year, 2020, is very reminiscent of that. There's so much going on at once. And a lot of the racial issues that we thought we had settled a long time ago are apparently still there and need to be dealt with. I think you can go too far with this. One thing I do agree with Carlson about is what takes place here. This, I don't want to demonize anybody. I'm not against all cops. I'm against the cops who are engaging in brutality. I certainly am not against all white people. I think some of the Black Lives Matter people, it's like they're broad brushing the whole white race for the actions of a few. The same way some whites broad brush the whole black race for the actions of a few. But this portion of Carlson's introduction, his commentary, I totally agree with him on this. This is absurd. This is shaming somebody and humiliating somebody. You can be sympathetic without going to these lengths. Basically, this is embarrassing to me as a black person that this black guy makes this white woman apologize for actions that she has nothing to do with, actually. Just start this up. This is embarrassing to me.
But
country.
I'm sorry that I scared you.
Okay.
But since I work for that company, my CEO has told me to come out today and to bring you on your knees because you have white privilege. So if they see that a white person is getting on their knees, that shows solidarity for the situation. The situation. And could you just please apologize for your white privilege? Just apologize?
I am. I'm trying to think of the right words to say because that's a big thing to say.
It's big.
It comes from...
It's large in this country.
I'm incredibly sorry.
Why do we kneel? We kneel because we've lost. We kneel before our victors because they have won. We put down our resistance. We beg for their mercy. But mobs rarely forgive. We're on your side, we shout. We're in solidarity. Spare us. But they never do.
Why are you? We're on your side! We're on your side! Holy what the We're on your side!
We're on your side as the rock comes through the window. You think the mob cares? No. What's happening to this country? Why are Americans surrendering to violent mobs? Well, because they've been told they have to. Everything we're now watching, the looting, the arson, the killing, has a purpose. The purpose, we're told again and again, is to end racist police violence against African Americans. We are told that that is the single greatest scourge in this country.
For the past 400 years, stemming from slavery, there has been a genocide of black people in this country.
I'm sick and tired of seeing black men and women be killed and nothing be done about it.
We had a black man in the office, bro. They were still killing us, bro.
Stop killing us! Stop killing us! Stop killing us!
Stop killing us. It's chilling. And if you believe it and you're a decent person, you will be moved by it because it's awful. No American should ever be mistreated by those in authority, much less killed. The abuse of power is always and everywhere a sin, and it's increasingly common here. We should always work to end it. In this case, the death of a man at the hands of police in Minneapolis turned out to be a metaphor for abuse of power. That death has led to demands that we fire the nearly 700,000 police officers who work in the United States, and that we free the 1.5 million criminals who are now behind bars. In America, Joe Biden told us recently, quote, just the color of your skin puts your life at risk. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey strongly agreed with that, quote, we have so many people in our country, Booker said yesterday, African-American men, mostly unarmed, being murdered by police officers and no way of holding them accountable. So many people murdered by police officers, unarmed, says Cory Booker. You're hearing a lot of people in authority tell you that every day, every hour. One group of pro athletes just announced that, quote, it seems like every week a new tragedy unfolds before our very eyes where people are being killed by police violence. Each time we tweet, we pray, we mourn, only to repeat the cycle a few days later. End quote.
And I let that go a little longer than I wanted to, but here's the thing. I totally agree that the violence is egregious, okay? The violence is not necessary. I would like to see peaceful protest in the vein of Martin Luther King, in the vein of Gandhi. What I don't like, and I'll say this, and I've said it before, as a black person, I think this makes black people look bad. Some of you may disagree with me. That always seems to strike a nerve with some people. I don't think you need to play into the stereotype. As I've stated before, we may roll our eyes at the people on the right, the people who are against the lockdown orders and such, who dress up like Rambo and storm state houses across the country. But those people aren't burning things down. Those people aren't shooting people. When you have death and looting associated with a so-called peaceful protest, it's not a peaceful protest at that point. I also agree with Carlson when he says, and there really are people who are calling for defunding police departments, if not totally eliminating the police. That is absurd. As I stated earlier, the overwhelming majority of police are there putting their lives on the line for us to try to keep this society civil. All I'm against is the bad cops. We need police. That's ridiculous to say that police should be done away with. Then we'd have total anarchy. So the faction on the left, and I would suppose that's the far left that is talking about defunding police departments and doing away with police altogether, that is ridiculous. But it's also equally ridiculous to assume that there are no bad cops. I keep saying that because there are obviously cops out there who are not, they are not on your side. I'm trying to see where we go from here. Oh, yes, by the way, and this is also often characterized, well, here's a sympathetic police officer. This is the police chief of Houston, and he is talking about how that this is not just a, you know, some of the media is making it like it's just a bunch of black folks acting crazy. It's not just black folks, and I've got some video to prove that. I am against violence, whether it be by a black person, a brown person, or anybody in between. Violence is not the answer. But this is the police chief of Houston, Texas, and he had these comments.
Yeah.
And what I love about this man and this man, what I love about this city is that they want people of color to be talked about as being thugs and we're bums and my people, as an immigrant, we're rapists. We know what? We built this country. We ain't going nowhere. Hate in your heart for people of color, get over it. Because this city is a minority majority city. And this city is a city where blacks and whites and browns and legal and illegal all get together because we judge each other by the content of our hearts. Okay? So I am angry. I'm angry. I'm angry because people don't understand, well, why are black people so mad? We had a little old lady stabbed by a crazy man in that Austin-involved shooting that stabbed that old lady. And I had a press conference, and I was angry. You might have seen it. But what people don't understand, I was angry because I looked at that video and I saw my mama's face.
Yeah.
And when a black man, I may not be black, but I'm God's child.
Yes.
I saw that man calling out for his mama, I thought about my mama. What I kept thinking is, he must be seeing her already in the street.
Yes, he was transitioning.
They're not letting
yes.
him come.
Yes.
So I'm here to tell you, we will march as a department with everybody in this community. I will march until I can't stand no more. But I will not, like Truth said, I will not allow anyone to tear down this city.
Amen.
Because this is our city.
We don't have to do that.
Don't pay close attention.
Yes.
Because these little white guys with their skateboards are the ones that started all the shit.
You better wait.
No, full well. Black people and brown people are angry. And knowing that they will start, if they start it, we will follow. Don't follow that bullshit. That's the devil's work. Tear our communities down because they know communities of color need the police more than anybody. And my one truth is, when I go to rich neighborhoods.
And it ends there. And maybe I should have given you a warning about the BS word there. But the thing is, this is where I disagree with Carlson as well, that he makes it sound like, one of the things that the chief said there, he was talking about the fact that some of these actions are not being done by black people exclusively. And I've got some video to prove that. If you listen, it just depends on which news organization you follow. But I want you to, this was pretty fascinating. This guy, speaking of that, here, and by the way, here's another thing I don't like. There are factions on both the far left and the far right who are engaging in this violent behavior. President Trump would have you believe that only the left is acting crazy. Antifa, it's only the left. No, you've also got the Proud Boys. You've got the Oath Keepers who are Trump supporters. They're also engaging in violence. And then let's take a look at this video from Seattle.
Some other nearby vehicles, also a concern about that building that is nearby. And it appears as if there's some folks that are trying to...
And volume. Obviously, somebody just shot the television screen there. But here was a guy with an AR-15. Apparently, he had taken it out of a burned police car, and luckily, somebody interceded there. This could have been a very ugly situation. So that's what we're dealing with out there. But there was another clip after this that I wanted to show you, too. And back to me, and we'll go to that clip. Like I said, pretty clip-heavy today, folks. No, that's not it. I don't even know where that came from. And that's not it either. We lost something there earlier, didn't we? Sorry. Show in progress, folks.
You know what the title is? You know.
Do you have... White Vandals was the title.
All right, I'll try to look that up.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep talking in the meantime. Let's see. There's a... But you know what? While we're at it, though, you do have rights, and I do want to go into that. If you do want to protest peacefully... I want to go into the... Well, actually, we found it. Yeah. But it seems like that's just audio. There should have been some video with that.
Right. But things.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, that's not it. So apparently, either I sent the wrong link or whatever. Forgive me, folks. This does happen. While we get things set up here, let's see what we got there. Not that. Apparently we didn't. I don't see my... All right, we'll work with what we got. But let's quickly go to... For some who said the president didn't speak out on this, if you remember, on the launch of the SpaceX rocket to the International Space Station, the president was there in Florida, and he made remarks about the death of George Floyd, and the remarks he made that day were actually pretty sensible.
On the streets of Minneapolis was a grave tragedy. It should never have happened. It has filled Americans all over the country with horror, anger, and grief. Yesterday, I spoke to George's family and express the sorrow of our entire nation for their loss. I stand before you as a friend and ally to every American seeking justice and peace, and I stand before you in firm opposition to anyone exploiting this tragedy to loot, rob, attack, and menace. Healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos, are the mission at hand.
Okay, welcome back. Yeah, so, you know, like I said, that sounds pretty sensible. But then the president goes on to make further remarks that are, some people said, that were a little insightful. And this was the president a day or two later talking about the situation.
It's hardly the first time that President Trump has made comments criticized as racially insensitive, if not just empirically racist. In fact, as CNN's Abby Phillip reports, this is just the latest example of the president of the United States seeming to stoke rather than attempt to heal our longstanding racial divides.
Downtown Minneapolis, engulfed in fire days after a black man, George Floyd, was killed following an arrest by police. Back in Washington, President Trump responding with middle-of-the-night tweets that once again fanned flames of racial tensions in the United States. Trump condemning the fires and looting, but adding a threat. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. That phrase appears to have its origin from this 1967 comment by a Southern police chief threatening black protesters with violence if there was looting.
When the looting starts, the shooting starts, right, which we know is a reference to another racist time, right, in the history of America where police abused our people.
Trump now facing re-election and making a push to appeal to black voters, touting his support for criminal justice reform and weighing in on Floyd's death.
I feel very, very badly. It's a very shocking sight.
But his own words, past and present, make that a tough sell.
I said, please don't be too nice.
And no justice!
No peace!
In Minneapolis, activists slamming Trump's record on issues of race.
He said, don't be so nice to them. Hit them in the head when you put them in the car.
That's right.
These were his words as the president of the United States. This is not an isolated situation.
Right. You were quick to send your troops to kill us? Mm. We already been saying it's open season all over the nation. You just opened it up even more.
Last year, Trump telling a group of minority Democratic congresswomen who are all U.S. citizens to go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. Then, a week later, attacking late Baltimore Congressman Elijah Cummings' majority black district as a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. Trump's latest tweet on looting prompting Twitter to act, leaving it up, but slapping on a label saying the message glorifies violence. The president now backpedaling, claiming he meant that looting leads to shooting, adding, I don't want this to happen, and that's what the expression put out last night means. It was spoken as a fact, not as a statement. Yet Trump's comments on Minnesota are part of a pattern of the president offering support to some protesters, like the ones who descended on Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017.
You also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
And armed protesters who opposed stay-at-home orders in Michigan, but stoking his supporters with attacks on football player Colin Kaepernick, who knelt during the national anthem to protest police violence.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired.
A White House official says that President Trump did not know the background behind that quote about looting when he tweeted it last night. And they've accused the media of stoking a misinterpretation of his comments. But I should note that last night, a right-wing militia group called the Oath Keepers, they show up often heavily armed at these types of protests, and they're typically allied with President Trump, actually called for him to retract the tweet, saying that they were fearful it would incite violence. So a lot of people saw that tweet and took a very clear meaning from that tweet last night, not just the media, Jake.
And welcome back. I'm Mo Ray, and this is The Other Side. By the way, the number here is 330-595-1600. I would like to say hello to some of the people who are chiming in. You've got Trina. You've got B.A. Levy. You've got, let me scroll down and see who's saying hello. Debbie. Hello, Debbie. And who else? Hold on. I just want to say hi to everybody. Hello, Alan. And let's see. I'll read a few of those. Julie says, do you have anything to talk about today? Yeah, there's a few things in the news, Julie. Thanks for bringing that up. And Trina says, good afternoon, Mo, Ray, and Joe Danier. God bless. Thank you very much. By the way, Joe, I didn't even say hi to you.
I know, really.
What's I'm so on? Sorry. Not I was just, there's just so much I want to get to right. here, and I am overwhelmed. There's just so much going on in the news. There's so much going on in the world. And by the way, it is interesting that this George Floyd situation has triggered attention around the world. You've got people in Germany and England and France who are kneeling in solidarity, who are protesting police brutality, not only in this country, but in their own countries. So this is a big deal. And I'm people who are trying to downplay it. But as the other thing with Tucker Carlson's comments, though, I disagree that the police and public officials who kneel in solidarity with the peaceful protesters, I don't think that's showing that they're subservient. I think that's showing that they get it, that they understand that, yes, some of these deaths should not have occurred. Well, in fact, none of these deaths should have occurred. But I know it sounds like I'm trying to take both sides, but in the name of balance, I think there's a difference between the situation of Michael Brown in Ferguson, who actually did lay hands on a cop, who actually did steal a box of cigars from a convenience store before he had his encounter with the cop. And there's a big difference between that and a 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was shot in 4 seconds by Cleveland police. An innocent child versus a person who had engaged in criminal activity. They're not in the same ballpark. Did either deserve to die? No. But I think sometimes laying hands on a cop, that's a good way to die. I don't care what your reasons are. Like the people who said that somebody should have interceded in the situation with George Floyd. I mean, what was somebody supposed to do? Tackle that cop? Then they end up dead too? I'm not saying that George Floyd deserved to die. And I'm saying, yes, it might have been courageous if somebody had intervened, but they would, like I said, they would have ended up in jail or dead themselves. But what we have, since we met last here, all four cops have been arrested at this point. George Floyd's charges of third-degree murder have been raised to second-degree murder. And this is what I've been telling the people who have been in such a hurry. I've had arguments on Facebook about this. You've got to trust the system to work. It may fail us again, but let's say, what I keep saying is, if you rush to arrest these cops, if they had moved any quicker without getting their ducks in a row, then these cops would have been able to walk on flimsy charges. And even if you've just watched a few episodes of Law and Order, you should know this country has something called double jeopardy. So if they were charged and the charges fell apart, they couldn't be recharged. That's why the district attorney, the attorney general, and everybody involved is trying to walk this very slowly to make sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed so that just maybe these charges stick. And that's what you should be looking for. And this will not be solved by violence. This will be solved by peaceful protest, like the one we had on Sunday here in Youngstown. I went to the morning protest. It was uneventful. There were some agitators there, but we shouted them down. We had 1,000 people or more. We had speakers like Congressman Tim Ryan, like Mayor Tito Brown, Councilman Julius Oliver. And as they tried to preach peace, a guy standing very near them, maybe 20 feet away or maybe a little further away, had a megaphone, and he was shouting hatred. And there was another guy working the crowd talking about shooting cops. These weren't locals. I passed their vehicle on the way in, out-of-state plates, with the flag of, I believe these were obviously, they didn't come in peace. They came to cause trouble, and later that evening there was some vandalism downtown Youngstown. Nothing to do with the peaceful protest that I was engaged in, we did it right. But also, I would say any of these protests, they should take place in broad daylight. I think when you have a protest after dark, you're inviting trouble. You're inviting these people who come in to incite violence, hiding under the darkness. Do it in broad daylight where everything is out there for everybody to see. And then go home peacefully. If anybody else wants to raise hell, that's on them, and they should be arrested. I am not condoning violence. Violence is not the answer. Let me read a few more of the comments. It says, oh, I do have a call. Let's take that call. Hello, caller.
Yes, hi, it's Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, what's on your mind?
Right, so I have a lot to say. I won't go on and on, but I just have a couple of points to make from last night's meeting with the NAACP. There was a conference call about what happened with this last incident with George. And the bottom line was that we needed policy change. That the bottom line was we need policy change. We have to ban the neck restraint training, need more use of force training, that the officers aren't getting the training they need to know how to defuse situations without killing somebody, and that there is an officer bill of rights, which I didn't know about, but that differs from state to state. There's no continuity from state to state, I guess. I may be wrong about that because I'm not an expert, obviously.
No, I just want to say you're absolutely right about that. And I even heard a story this morning on NPR, which I was unaware. In New York, you can't if a cop is let go because of bad behavior, there are rules saying that that can't even be revealed. So he could go to another police department and carry that negative behavior to another department. So if you will remember, right, during the Obama administration, the Eric Holder Justice Department, Eric Holder / Loretta Lynch Justice Department, was trying to get some national standards on policing. But when Trump came in, he did away with that. And I'll be alluding to that later. But to your point, go ahead.
Right. And then the other piece I would just like to bring up is, Fox News is terribly unbalanced and very unfair. They take things out of context. The context is this in New York, for example, and I have friends living in New York. I'm from New York in my adult life. I lived there most of my adult life. Now I'm in Youngstown. But the context in New York was that the protests were largely peaceful. However, certain neighborhoods got completely smashed. I mean, whole neighborhoods, not just one or two stores, a whole neighborhood. All right, so what Fox News does is it points the spotlight at the rioting and the looting and all that, and then generalizes that the whole of the event is that, rather than it being a microcosm of our whole world. Our whole world. We have war. War is violence. We commit crimes all the time. We kill people all the time in war. So that's the world. So the world in New York is, yes, there are bad people, but there's also more good people and more people willing to work for change than there are the bad people. We do need policy reform. We need police reform. We need prison reform, and we need to decriminalize the poor. That's the problem. We criminalize the poor. All right, I guess I could go on and on. I won't. But, I watched this memorial today. It was very moving. If you get a chance to listen to Al Sharpton's sermon, I strongly recommend that. I know a lot of people are against him, but he spoke truth to power today. And he is absolutely 100% correct. Please watch that. That's all I have to say, Mo.
I thank you, Barbara. Anyway, and
you're welcome.
I just wanted to say, if you're watching, on my screen I'm getting video interrupted things, so there may be some glitches in this broadcast, this live stream, I should say. So I do apologize for that. That is beyond my control. I hope you heard some of the comments that Barbara made. Joe, what do we got going on here?
Yeah, Facebook's having some receiving problems right now. We're broadcasting, and it'll come in. If you just be patient, it'll probably come back. I'm watching it, though.
Okay, all right. I should have known he's on the job. Okay, and I hope you caught some of what Barbara had to say. Once again, the number here is 330-595-1600. Let's read some more comments. Alan says, I hate this righteous indignation from these know-nothing Fox freaks. That was from the Tucker Carlson segment, I'm sure. Enough of this unbalanced and unfair report. That's a BA talking about the Tucker Carlson report. And let's see. Debbie says, I remember riots as a kid and National Guard being here. I don't understand. I do now. The U.S. is trembling under, trembling? No, I did a, it's crumbling under Trump. Well, there's a new word, trembling. But anyway, but yes, I do understand it. And by the way, I, as I said, I wanted to talk about that, how when you have the, one police officer said right after President Trump was elected, on one end, we have two extremes here. You have one extreme that's talking about abolishing police altogether. You have another extreme that is talking about giving the cops power to pretty much do whatever they want to do. And this was a police officer speaking in front of a group of other police officers shortly after President Trump was elected.
The Obama administration and the handcuffing and oppression of police was despicable. The first thing President Trump did when he took office was turn that around, got rid of the Holder Loretta Lynch regime, and decided to start letting the cops do their job, put the handcuffs on the criminals instead of us.
Well, I think it's notable that George Floyd died not only with a cop's knee on his neck, but he was handcuffed at the time, speaking of handcuffing. And let's look at a world where cops can do whatever they want to do. This is cops in New York City. This is and other places. Well, actually, no, these are all New York cops. It's a compilation of different footage. And let's see what happens when cops are unleashed to do whatever they please.
Come on!
So, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, it's a question of balance between violence of rioters and violence of police who are unchecked. If anything positive comes from this, it should be that we keep an eye on these police officers, that they be held accountable for their behavior. The president actually applauded some of the footage you saw there. He was glad that New York's finest was taking control. We don't want to live in a police state. We want to be protected by the police. We want them to serve us. And as I said, I have a lot more respect for the cops who kneel in solidarity with the protesters, the peaceful protesters, than I do for what I just saw, to use a word the president used, thuggish behavior by officers of the law. Some of those people weren't doing anything. A cop riding by with a police car spraying people that are doing nothing wrong other than peacefully protesting. Nothing was being burned. Nothing was being destroyed. You got to tell both sides of the story. And I do understand some of the people's comments about the Tucker Carlson segment. I show that to show you we're in two different realities right now. If all you watch is Fox News, then you think that the media is coddling a bunch of bad guys and that they're all a bunch of bad guys, everybody out in that street, when nothing could be further from the truth. A lot of the people are in the street as they were here in Youngstown on Sunday because they just believe that enough is enough with the senseless killing. I'm trying to see where we go from here. Oh, yes. The president, who, as I pointed out earlier, had a very conciliatory tone when he was at NASA talking about the death of George Floyd, changed his tone a little bit later when he started talking about bringing in the U.S. military to deal with this. That is in violation of what's known as posse comitatus. It has been, there is an exception to that. And that's talked about here. Let's take a look at this.
Terry should be used on American streets against Americans.
Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property.
He is Mr. Law and Order, and he would bring in the military to put down these protests. The president doesn't want to distinguish between the looters and the protesters. See, the president doesn't want to speak about the killing of Mr. Floyd. The president wants to talk about just looting, because if he's talking about looting, he doesn't have to talk about the killing of Mr. Floyd. And he doesn't want to talk about the killing of Mr. Floyd. And he doesn't want to talk about reforming the justice system. He doesn't want to talk about that. So he wants to say they're all looters. They're not all looters.
I heard what the president said today about dominating and fighting. I know I should be surprised when I hear incendiary words like this from him, but I'm not. At so many times during these past several weeks, when the country needed compassion and leadership the most, it was simply nowhere to be found. Instead, we got bitterness, combativeness and self-interest. That's not what we need in Boston. It's not what we need right now in Massachusetts. And it's definitely not what we need across this great country of ours either.
It's an inappropriate use of our military. And we have police in Washington, D.C. We have federal police in Washington, D.C. to focus on the federal properties. And that is an appropriate use.
We really need to have the rhetoric all the way at the top of the administration focusing on how to manage these issues and situations without increasing the violence. The issue here should be de-escalation. It should be, how do we listen to people? How do we hear their concerns? And then how do we focus the appropriate law enforcement response on those who are trying to hijack these peaceful protests and engage in looting and violence for the sake of violence? We have governors actively engaged with the National Guard. We have police actively engaged in that. And again, we have seen some tragic results, but we're not at the point of having the Army train its guns on civilians.
And there's former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and I couldn't agree with her more. You know, you don't want to turn this into martial law, and I don't think we're at that point yet. There have definitely been some incidents of violence. There's actually been some deaths. There's been destruction of property, but that's what the National Guard is for. And if you notice the graphic there, the Insurrection Act has not been used in over 200 years, and I don't think it needs to be used now. This president always wants to play the tough guy. He wants to be the general. That is not who we are. This can be resolved without taking those actions. But I did make a reference to, I want to end on a positive note, and I wanted you to check out some commentary from Lester Holt of NBC Nightly News. He sums it up very nicely.
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
On the streets of Ferguson, well past that time where people say nothing ever good happens, something did.
That's what we need! That's what we need in these streets!
A moment of mutual respect.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And a far cry from just a few years ago. After Michael Brown was killed by a Ferguson police officer, outrage erupted into chaos in this city divided by race and power.
Don't shoot!
Don't shoot!
But the fires of revolution gave way to change, including body cameras and more minorities on the police force, now led by Chief Jason Armstrong, who says relationships between officers and the community are critical.
The best way to try to get that is just through, you know, through dialogue and communication.
And perhaps that dialogue building to this. Last night, Ella Jones became the city's first black and first female mayor.
What do you think you represent as a black woman who's now in charge of this city?
Inclusion. People have been feeling like they've been left out the government, and now they feel like they have elected a person who is for the people.
The people calling her a symbol of transformation.
Yes, history. History's being made, yes.
It may not be in my lifetime, but it may be in these young people's lifetime that racism and injustice will be wiped out.
Proof that through strife and hard work, hope has room to grow. Steve Patterson, NBC.
And apologies. That was not the clip I wanted to play, but I think that that's also a positive thing. I want to end on a positive note, and I think the Lester Holt commentary.
This one?
That's not it either. Hold on just a second. We're going to find what we're looking for here. Not her for sure. Nope. No, that's all right. I was sure I put that there. Well, I found this interesting. Let's do this instead.
This
one? Yeah, forget Lester Holt. We'll catch. Well, I'll play that another day. But the whole thing about bringing the military out, when you lose Pat Robertson, Mr. President, I think that says a whole lot. And Pat Robertson,
you know, there's a
go ahead. I'll let him say it.
Purpose of everything under heaven, we read in the Bible, and there's a time. And it seems like now is the time to say, I understand your pain. I want to comfort you. I think it's time we love each other. But the president took a different course. He said, I am the president of law and order. And he issued a heads up. He said, I'm ready to send in military troops if the nation's governors don't act to quell the violence that has rocked American City. As a matter of fact, he spoke of them as being jerks. You just don't do that, Mr. President. It isn't cool.
Wow. When Pat Robertson thinks you're not cool, I think that speaks volumes. But let's go out on a high note here also. Jimmy Kimmel covered the president's walk. This was pure theatrics and really ridiculous, using the church as a backdrop without permission of the church, by the way. On a moment's notice, the reporters had to chase him down. And then he stood there holding the Bible. This is Jimmy Kimmel's version of what should have happened that day. Well, that didn't happen, but a lot of us thought it might have. The Bible is not a prop, and a lot of evangelicals have come out against this. Of course, Trump still has his supporters. The bottom line is this. Pat Robertson, never thought I'd agree with him. We don't need the tough guy stuff, Mr. President. What we need is a consoler, a healer. We don't need a wannabe general. You've got, let's remember that his former defense secretary, General Mattis, has come out against what he says is an abuse of the Constitution by this president. I'm going to talk about that further on Tuesday. There were so many clips I didn't even get to today. But even as we speak, the memorial is probably ongoing for George Floyd. Let's remember that the death of George Floyd is what this is all about. To be clear, as I've said before, he was no angel, but he was not supposed to die that day at the hands of a police officer. And I think no matter which side of the political divide you're on, you should believe that we are all endowed with inalienable rights by the Constitution, and that the people who are put in charge of our protection, who take those vows to protect and to serve, should do just that. They should not be bullies themselves. I respect the cops who kneel, who walk with the protesters. Those are the cops I respect, not the tough guys, not the guys that Trump seems to be cheering on. We're better than that. That's what separates us from lesser countries in this world. Let's try to be the best country we can be. This is far from over, but let's hope that this is the beginning of a sincere talk about race relations, about police policies from coast to coast. There should be some national guidelines. There should be some unified training. Cops shouldn't be able to just do whatever they want to do. That's not what it's all about. Because today, we're mourning the death of George Floyd, but tomorrow it could be you or someone you love. These things happen. And as I say time and time again, thank God for the cameras. Otherwise, we'd never know about these things. It would be the cop's word against the victims or the survivors of the victim. Joe, thanks for what you do.
Absolutely.
Went a little long today. And we had a few technical glitches, but thank all of you for joining us. Please tell your friends, let's expand this, let's get the word out, because I know some of you criticize me for showing Fox clips and all that, but I think you need to know what half of America is seeing while you're seeing one thing. So maybe that's why we can't agree on what the facts are, because we all have our individual facts, and there should only be some. There should only be one set of facts. There should only be good and bad, and we ought to be able to discern which is which. As I said, no to violence, yes to peace, yes to understanding, yes to dialogue. I'm Mo Ray. You've been watching The Other Side, and I'm saying, as I always say, keep your eyes on the prize.